Welcome to New Media Currents. I'm your host, John Houghton, and this is the third of a three-part interview with Michael Crane of Keynote Systems, where we discuss the latest trends in how consumers are using mobile devices. Let's join the conversation now, where we continue by discussing the use of mobile devices to stay current with your parking meter.
Well, we saw a presentation about 3 weeks ago where a gentleman was regulating parking meters in San Francisco.
Exactly,
in the marina area, Zippity. And just being able to, there were a bunch of capabilities. One was to be able to pay your parking fees and not go over. So for example, your meter wouldn't time out and you wouldn't get a ticket.
And the city receives your money instantly. Yes. They don't have to deal with cashing coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did they also use it for actually finding spaces as well, empty spaces?
You could actually broadcast that I'm leaving my space,
mm-hmm.
and let the area around know that space number 25 is now available at North Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And someone could come and take that as opposed to driving three times around the block looking for a space.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that also has some implications in fuel savings and time savings and hopefully money.
Yeah. Well, as long as this technology makes it more convenient and lets people save time and make more of their day and allows them to do things more, spend time where they want to spend it rather than spending time on inefficient means, then...
I think so. There's some interesting unintended consequences that come out of things like that. For example, I can see the city of San Francisco in this case, and I talked with them afterwards, maybe fighting something like this.
Mm-hmm.
The unintended consequences are that you may put meter readers out of business,
mm-hmm.
potentially, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's not as much ticketing done anymore.
Right.
Ticketing is a big revenue source for city of San Francisco.
I can tell.
Right. So
I can see that.
There's a big question whether or not they would embrace the technology, would drop the ticketing revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So someone would have to build a business case saying, you can save more than you can actually ticket because you don't have to count pennies and coins and quarters anymore.
Maybe they'd be more interested in a real-time ticket distribution system rather than a real-time meter paying system.
Yeah, that would probably be.
So they wouldn't, they'd get the revenue. They wouldn't have to wait for the meter maid to come by. And...
Yeah, so that's an interesting one where I think they're going to fight that. I think there's going to be some people put their heels in and say, you know what, we make X millions of dollars a year in tickets for people parking longer than they should in a space, and you're going to take that away? I don't know. I remember years ago I was working on a project and there was some wireless technology that PepsiCo was using to help their distributors, truck drivers, deliver more cases of Pepsi. And what they were doing was they could check the volume of certain types of beverages in Coke machines or in Pepsi machines around the city, around your route. And so you knew exactly what you needed to take on your route because you knew that it was out of orange, but you didn't need to replace anything with diet. And so you could determine ahead of time the cases that you would actually take with you on your route. And what happened was the route drivers became so efficient and they were paid bonuses on being efficient in case delivery. And they're receiving enough in bonuses that they were making more money than their managers who sat at the desk in the distribution center were making.
Wow.
And so the union stepped in and said, this technology is great, but what is actually going to happen here is it's going to raise the wages of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do that, we're probably going to lose money in using this technology.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're going to have to pay non-delivery people more money than it was going to cost us to deploy the technology and saving of case delivery. So we need to study this. Mm-hmm. And in the end, Pepsi didn't use it.
Oh, that's too bad. I guess the metrics have got to catch up more with how the real value is delivered in the system.
Exactly. Right. And so the real value, sometimes the unintended consequence is it's going to raise wages or it's going to eliminate jobs or something else that, maybe today isn't palatable.
Yeah. But, if there's a way to look at the overall efficiency gained by society and somehow monetize that or redistribute that.
Yeah, I think you're seeing things like if you can prove that the use of cell phones and this technology is going to, reduce car emissions and enable you to get to work faster. I mean, those are real powerful reasons to use it. If you're going to try to say, you know what, you get to save a few dollars a month on your, you know, your phone bill because you've eliminated some certain type of instance in the billing systems.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not, you know, that's not a good enough reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think technologies like this, especially in these third world countries, you're seeing the use of phones that are helping people do their business, day-to-day business better,
mm-hmm.
like you are here, saving mm-hmm. lives, those mm-hmm. sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the really big drivers. I saw recently something, an article about technology, what technologies are among the most important technologies that we have in society. And they said, far and away, telecommunications for societies that didn't have it and then received it was the most important factor in their gross national product.
Hmm.
If you're going to choose education, construction,
mm-hmm.
agriculture,
mm-hmm.
telecommunications for your country that needs all, you know, one, all four of them, mm-hmm. which one would you choose? Which one would generate the most gross national product for you?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer came back, telecommunications.
Wow.
More important than education, more important than construction, more important than, you know, in enhancing agriculture.
In terms of commerce on the phone and the ability to say you're consuming some content and then you want to act on it, you want to, you know, maybe click out from an audio file or a podcast or a video or a video cast. Currently, the technology for that is kind of limited, but we have new technologies coming online, Flash and Flashlight for mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, about how you see that being adopted and what effect that will have.
I think Flash, there's a lot of technology that you want to have on your phone
mm-hmm.
that enable you to experience interactivity with other people.
Mm-hmm.
They call them multiplayer games, multiplayer experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And with Flash enabling you to actually animate maybe on your own, animate things that you could never have animated on a phone before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some examples of directions. They will actually, as you're moving, animate, you know, where you need to go to.
Hmm.
Much like you do with Neverlost. You can do that walking around on your phone.
Hmm.
So you get some of the Hertz Neverlost through a Flash player
mm-hmm.
that actually navigates you maybe to a mall. I've seen one at a trade show where
mm-hmm.
it will help navigate you through a trade show. You pick the booth you want to go see,
mm-hmm.
and they will navigate you through on a Flash player to your booth.
Wow. How does it know where you are?
It's got a time difference of arrival calculation that's done on the phone.
Hmm.
These are Qualcomm phones that have their SnapTrack technology in the phone.
Hmm.
And so it knows within a few meters of exactly where you're at relative to, you know, other objects in the vicinity.
Wow.
So, you know, having that ability to actually animate that sort of thing, I'll say animate with Flash, is a really powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we all want to have those tools on our phone. So mm-hmm. Flash becomes something that anybody, if you're a, you know, even a relatively inexperienced programmer, can actually use as a means to generate that sort of information to a device.
Mm-hmm. And it's very powerful, I think, too, because it allows consumers to act and to take an action. Let's say they're listening to a song and like, well, I want to buy that song. Well, they can. It's a matter of a couple clicks away.
Yep.
With their wallet.
Right.
What are the technologies you see besides Flashlight?
Well, you know, Microsoft has obviously, you know, got their answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing a lot of different guys just deciding what type of a player, you know, do I have on my phone? Is it a mm-hmm. real player? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be via a browser?
Mm-hmm. Like right now it's a browser, right, with Flash.
That's right.
And so there would be other players out there, I guess media players that are not only that, but also maybe pseudo browsers?
That's right.
So what is Microsoft's answer?
Well, Microsoft wants everybody to look at the world through their Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've also got their player as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, Microsoft Media.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll try to wrap everything they can around your ability to use the operating system,
mm-hmm.
which is their Windows 5.0 at the current juncture,
mm-hmm.
Media, or their mobile 5.0, as
mm-hmm.
they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll do is go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will enable to do flash? Sure. But will enable to do flash as well as maybe an Opera Explorer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an Opera browser or mm-hmm. Firefox or somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I think flash has a real big advantage, though, in that they've been adopted, so far as I know, by most of the major handset manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see those this year on, you know, phones coming from Motorola, Samsung, Nokia, mm-hmm. Sony Ericsson, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see that for Microsoft. Microsoft is obviously, you know, going the smartphone route, and you won't see their players on a Razer anytime soon.
I see. In terms of who's going to win this war for the mobile phone operating system, there's Palm, and then there's the Windows operating system. BlackBerry has an operating system as well. Do you which one do you see winning out, and are there other players?
Yeah, the kind of the big wars I think are going to be played between Trio's already starting to lose out to Microsoft, right? They've got a mm-hmm. you can buy a Trio's window,
right? 700W
from Verizon or Sprint, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already kind of started to, I'll say, cave into the Microsoft operating system.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you've got Nokia, which is fighting it vociferously with their Symbian operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's to be seen whether or not, you know, they're going to be able to beat them out. I think Microsoft, in the end, is, you know, is going to challenge everybody on this platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, do you need to have an operating system to do all the things that you want to do with your mobile phone,
mm-hmm.
your smartphone?
Mm-hmm.
And in time, you'll have people like Google and Sun and others say, no, you don't. You can do everything through a, you know, a web interface if mm-hmm. you've got that broadband connection with
mm-hmm.
your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I still think an operating system is really what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a fairly sophisticated operating system on all of our smartphones, and it's probably going to be Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
I know Nokia will go to the grave probably trying to claim the Symbian, but and Symbian is a fine operating system, but how many people are actually out there able to write applications for the Symbian operating system?
Hmm.
Maybe not nearly as many as can write, you know, Visual Basic code for Microsoft platform. So in the end, it kind of comes down to economics. If I'm going to make money writing really neat applications, who am I going to choose to write my applications for?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what in some regards drove the PC, and that's what's going to probably drive the smartphone adoption rates.
Mm-hmm. You're going to write for the most ubiquitous operating system.
That's exactly right. It's economics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I would like to write one for the Mac, but I'm going to sell 10x if I write it for, you know, the Windows platform.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you going to choose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may not like one, but, you know, it's economics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I think the OSs that are out there available on the mobile platform, as these phones become more sophisticated, are, you know, going to be looking for a common platform, much like we did with the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So Symbian will be there, and the Trio. BlackBerry has their own, but BlackBerry is a very, you know, specialized niche player mm-hmm. in the grand scope of things.
Mm-hmm.
I carry BlackBerry, I like it a lot, but you know, they've only sold a couple million devices, if that.
A couple million?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple million BlackBerry users out there. I don't think there's that many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of the business use
mm-hmm.
and outside of very specific business users, you know, no one uses BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't. My wife doesn't. Mm-hmm. Et cetera.
So do you see like Trio smartphones gaining larger adoption?
I see Trio smartphones getting larger adoption. I think, you know, QWERTY keyboards are becoming more fashionable. I think you're seeing a lot more of those with all the smartphones,
mm-hmm.
from HTC to the Samsung smartphones, the Nokia's new, you know, smartphone,
mm-hmm.
All coming with a keyboard so people can actually do their texting, because mm-hmm. texting is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trio has... And Trio is a really fine platform. It's well engineered. It's been around. It's been beat on.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the guys in this company carry a Trio.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to like, just because I worked earlier with BlackBerry, so I'm used to it. So what's happening is fragmentation. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing this market get fragmented. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were saying earlier that there's a proliferation of device manufacturers.
That's right.
300 of them. And it's not,
at least,
not scaling down like it was with automotive manufacturers.
It's growing.
It's growing.
Yeah, I know a manufacturer that's working with, you know, a major media house, and they're making phones specifically like their characters that they have.
Oh.
And
yeah, you're seeing that. We're seeing like U2 iPods and...
Yeah, and you're seeing, you know, Disney phones, mm-hmm. and Disney's working with a number of people who have some very interesting ideas about Disney phones, doing very interesting things. Mm. So that you're starting to see that whole thing. Like I was saying, phones are becoming this fashion statement, status symbol, status statement.
Way to individualize yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, it's hard to predict 20 years ago whether technology would homogenize everybody by connecting them, or whether it would individualize them.
That's right. And I think it's doing both, right? It's bringing us together. It's flattening the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a virtual office virtually anywhere. Mm. And at the same time, it's giving us the individuality that we always wanted. Mm-hmm. It's allowing me to connect or be connected to specifically where I'm at, direct to consumer, advertising, media. It's also allowing me to be in connection with exactly who I want to when I want to be in contact with them.
Probably also leveling the playing field with large corporations or whatever power that be. Because now individuals have the technology to have a voice that's at least on the same medium.
Yeah, and you're seeing, you know, various instances of that. I know there's been, you know, in Iraq, for example, phones are very popular for security purposes, for... Mm-hmm. Bring groups together for security reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that's going to happen. So, and the bad guys are also taking advantage of it too. Mm. You know, they can mobilize faster, demobilize faster, things like that. Mm. So, you know, there's a dark side to technology as well. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, there's no doubt that it's you know, allow us to connect and be connected like we never have before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's also putting up some walls and allowing us to be disconnected, where, you know, the face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball communication, you know, isn't needed as much. Mm. I know in my industry, I hear a lot of talk about, obviously, that you can use phones, but also... just communication via various means where you don't have to actually make a physical, you know, connection with the person. Mm.
Well, technology is a tool. Can be picked up and used for good or bad.
Yeah. I think communication, aside from, you know, there's different types of technology. Using a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet has been phenomenal for productivity. Mm-hmm. But being able to communicate with somebody else is altogether different. And the efficiency in communication is... You know, kind of what we've been talking about here. Mm-hmm. And those are exciting. They're scary. They're doing things with our society that you know, we probably didn't intend to happen. But you know, it's if you go back to what we were talking about, Africa, using a cellular device is actually, and you know, I can't relate to it, but it's allowed an entire population, millions of people, to leapfrog 1,000 years, right? It's taken them from no water, no roads, not communicating to, you know, 2006 in a matter of, you know, a phone being delivered to you. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of an amazing phenomenon that, you know, you and I have kind of seen incrementally over time, but they saw this thing happen literally, you know, overnight.
You know how you always say... hear about the early adopters that progress along. They might be moving along, but they also have a lot of things holding them back. Whereas somebody, when they leapfrog, they don't have all that.
That's right.
That baggage. Kind of like we have these old cell phone networks and our old data pipes. I don't know if there's.
That's a good point. We're dragging along the old technologies.
Trying to drag things along, but if somebody leapfrogs, like you cellular enable Africa with a lot of services, then they might be able to move ahead a lot quicker.
Yeah, they're not carrying old analog phones, or they're not old landlines, or yeah, you're right. They've gone from zero to 100 miles an hour without you know, having to go 40, 50, 60, 70 at the same time,
mm-hmm.
or to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to watch that that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of exciting.
Yeah. So what are your predictions for 5 or 10 years out?
I think pretty much everybody on the planet, I have a couple predictions. One that I was talking with somebody yesterday about. There's a whole other area. We talked about this search capability, and I think you're going to see most things inventoried, tagged, physical world connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, anything in the physical world, whether it's my glasses or my briefcase, my refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
what have you, food in my refrigerator, mm-hmm. will be tagged and potentially inventoried somehow.
So I can search for it. Asset tracking.
Exactly. Asset tracking, inventory. In other words, I want to search for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, virtually anything could be tagged with something.
So let's say you're in your neighborhood and you need a shovel. And then you search for shovel and you find, oh, my neighbor 3 blocks down.
Exactly.
If they've opened up their inventory, if you look at.
That's right.
And then you can borrow their things, they can borrow your things. And
all those sort of things are going to happen.
Hmm.
I think you're going to see where... shopping will become extremely efficient. You're going to go to a place and say, I'm looking for a pair of yellow Nike shoes, size
mm-hmm.
11 and a half,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to pay more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be able to find that instantly, the closest place to you at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be a phenomenal proliferation in efficiency in finding things.
So the price line for tennis shoes.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're going to say the price line for tennis shoes. Only it's going to be very specific where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about a pair of shoes in New York. I care about a pair of shoes, on Market Street in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to waste any time getting those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wander for half a day looking for these, this type of dress, this size,
mm-hmm.
at this within this price range.
Mm-hmm.
Find it. And I think you're the same sort of analogy. I'm going to borrow a shovel. I'm going to borrow. I need to find an electrician or a plumber or I have a leaky faucet. I'd like to set up a bid between multiple people within my vicinity that would like to come fix my dryer.
Mm.
Those sort of things.
I see.
And so, first, everything in the physical world will be tagged relative to location, relative to where you are,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be able to access that instantly with devices,
mm.
cell phones, and whatnot.
Mm.
So I think that's a thing. I think the other thing that's going to happen is virtually everybody on the planet is going to have a phone down to some certain age. I don't know how far down that's going to go, but I predict it'll go all the way down to 5 or 6 year old children
mm-hmm.
with a phone, if not younger. Maybe mm-hmm. everybody has one, a communication device.
The parents can track them.
Parents can track them, and is provided that the safety mechanisms are in place.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to have something like that. I
mm-hmm.
think it takes away a fear in society of losing my child, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the other element of, Big Brother and the bad guy, the danger ranger, out there roaming around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, the goodness is there, and we're going to see everybody carrying a device that's saying where I'm at and helping me determine where I want to go and
mm-hmm.
what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about, you're moving from 2 billion to 3 billion within the next... a year or so, and I think, or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to go to, the 6 billion number in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, and it has been predicted. What, 2011, various sources, I forget. It's either 4 billion or 6 billion.
Probably 4 billion.
Yeah, by 2011.
Yeah. I know that we'll see 3 billion by 2009, and there's mm-hmm. no reason why we shouldn't add another billion between 9 and 11. So
mm-hmm.
Take 3 years to get to 3 and 5 years to get to 4 billion. So that'll be very amazing when that happens,
mm-hmm.
when virtually everybody is connected. It'll be much less than half the population that does not have a device.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, the media, getting media to your phone, I think it's going to open up some incredible opportunities for media companies to provide, because ultimately that's what we do. We like to be entertained, and we like to have this as a tool, and the information that we get we'll pay for.
Mm. So it's an opportunity for content providers, for publishers that want to get their content out there, but also for people that say they want to get their content for free. What's an opportunity for advertisers?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Opportunity for advertisers, and there'll be all kinds of different ways to get your information out to, you know, to people now. Not mm-hmm. only through the internet, through television, which, you know, isn't going away anytime soon, mm-hmm. and through mobile devices. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing things like a whole new area of advertising called 5-second ads, where you've got to produce an ad and that's get your message across in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And those are little trailers on the end of something you might get on your cell phone mm-hmm. or on the internet even. Mm-hmm.
Well, it hasn't come down to produce the ad in 5 seconds.
Yeah, right. Well, we might
real
get there.
Real-time ads.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you
but,
know.
Yeah, short ads.
Micro ads or whatever mm-hmm. they're calling those.
Right. People are getting tired of long ads.
Yeah, and then taking advantage of the fact I'm on a small device and mm-hmm. I can do something with that. Mm-hmm. You know, Flash is becoming an interesting choice for that. Sending a Flash ad. Mm-hmm. It's very specific to just you, and maybe right. it's crafted just for your demographic. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not want to see another demographic. It may not relate to me mm-hmm. for whatever reason. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think some of that's possible now because of the text-to-speech innovations.
Yep.
That you can have a computer speaking words on a page, but it sounds just like a person with all the articulations. And
that's right. I can get my email read to me. I mm-hmm. can get an ad read to me. I don't have to read anymore. Mm-hmm. I think I was there was some article I was reading about a woman in Africa using a phone, and she couldn't read or write, never could. Mm-hmm.
So levels the playing field in another sense.
Levels the playing field. She doesn't have to anymore. Mm-hmm. She can scan things in, text mm-hmm. to speech. It'll read it to her mm-hmm. wherever she's at, mm-hmm. and so you know she can scan that barcode and it'll tell her everything about the product. Hmm. Or she can receive something via RFID tag and tell her everything and voice it to her. Mm-hmm. And she can voice back, you know, what she wants to do with that. Purchase it, not purchase it, whatever.
Well, one of the disadvantages would be that visually you can see lots of different things. Like everything you see is like a cockpit. However, with voice, it's just one channel.
One channel,
that's
yeah.
can be taken up, and it's not as fast as scanning. So your visual environment.
That's right, yeah.
So I suppose there'd be a mix. A mix would be ideal rather than being, you know, relying on text-to-speech.
Yeah, you know, there's technologies now with phones. Adobe's doing some things in the area where you're taking an image. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's an easy example is I know of a company doing this that they're working with. You're in a museum, you take a picture of the Mona Lisa. It'll verbally tell you about the picture. Mm-hmm. You don't have to read anymore. There's no reading to be done. And you can take that out to all sorts of things. I take a photograph of that new car, mm-hmm. a new Audi TT. Mm-hmm. It'll tell me anything I want to know about that. Mm. I may take a picture of an apple mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. Mm. And based upon the image, it mm-hmm. processes the image in the background, sends me information about that particular item.
That'd be good for visually impaired.
Visually impaired, for children, for mm-hmm. people that don't read, you know, or don't want to read, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know.
Or you're saying it'll take a picture and it'll describe that.
Yeah, exactly. I snap a picture with my camera phone mm-hmm. and send that off, and within, you know, seconds later, mm-hmm. back comes verbalizing to me everything I want to know about that.
It's a man standing in front of the house with a shovel with his wife.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Or it might be, maybe I take a picture of this home, mm-hmm. and I know that home is held on a database by a Coldwell banker. Mm-hmm. Back will come the information about that particular home. Mm-hmm. When was it built, you know, how many rooms, mm-hmm. square footage, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All through just taking a photograph. Mm-hmm. Because with that will go where I'm at. So I take a photograph of the house, it knows exactly where I'm at, goes back to a database. Says house, you know, all this is processed in the background, and back will come the information about that. I've seen it work, so you know that's in place now. So those sort of capabilities are there.
The future is an exciting place.
It's exciting, yeah. There's some amazing things, you know. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying, but I think something's happening here. there's these early adopters, and sometimes we in Silicon Valley get we're out the head of the pack, and mm-hmm. we think because we're surrounded by all these early adopters that this is the technology that's going to this is everybody wants it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we stepped outside that pack, we look back behind us and go, most of the population could care less about this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this mobile space, because you know everybody has got a phone, or mm-hmm. not everybody, but at least in our country, a high percent do. In some countries, everybody's got a phone.
Mm-hmm.
The adoption rate of these new technologies is much greater, much faster than it is in other parts of the technology spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of exciting to be in this space just because of that,
mm-hmm.
That fact. Everybody's got these devices,
mm-hmm.
and as these new applications roll out, the adoption rates are much greater than they are for other technologies, whether it be electric cars or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
In the mobile space, because everybody's got these devices.
Would that make this one of the highest growth industries then?
I think for certain. I ended the talk that you had a few weeks ago on a question when I think that was asked of the panel. Do you think we're plateauing in the cost and application space for phones, mobile devices? And I said, I'm going to end it on a question. And I raised the question when I asked, how many of you, if your carrier doubled the price that you pay each month for your phone, how many of you would turn your phone off and throw it away? I said, even triple, and no one raised their hand. So I think there's a tremendous amount more that we're willing to spend
mm-hmm.
for the use of this device, whether we like it or not. It's, we have to have it. It's a device that we can't live without.
Because the value it delivers.
The value it delivers. So with that comes the fact that I would pay more begrudgingly if I didn't get any more services
mm-hmm.
for that device. I'd still pay it probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I would certainly be willing to pay more if I got new and better services with it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. So at least twice what I'm paying today, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells me that there's this thing has a long run ahead of it in the mobile space. So it's a pretty good space to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just my opinion. That's pretty much a universal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been great having you on the program, Michael. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
Thanks. My name is John Houghton, and I would like to thank you for joining us for this edition of New Media Currents. To find out more information about the program, please visit newmediacurrents.com. We hope you join us for the next edition of New Media Currents.